OK.
はい。
All right. OK. Now we will resume our study today. But first, let me get to know Creston's friend. Or is it Sam's friend? Or both people's friends? Both people's friends. Oh, oh, OK, OK. Sorry. Oh, okay, Raul, nice to meet you. Sorry, your name is?
Nicholas.
Ah, Nicholas, okay, okay. Jason is your brother, Jason. Okay, all right, good, good, okay. Well, welcome. It's good to have you. Anyone else that, no? Okay. Okay, good. Now we resume our study of Ephesians. Okay. And we will go on to another part of it. Okay. Well, we turn to Ephesians 2 and we will continue. So I hope that this study of Ephesians has been helpful to you. I hope that bit by bit the book is first becoming coherent. Okay, first it's something you begin to understand. You can see its parts, you can see the whole. That would be helpful. Okay, so first and foremost, that it is something that's beginning to that you can understand. Not it's no longer a whole series of words that you're like, ah, what is this talking about? Okay? So I hope that's where we're going, bit by bit. And I will never fail to remind you every week about this. Because at the end of the day, when we are done with this book, which is I don't know when, but when we are done with this book, what stays with you? These individual messages here? No, they're not going to stay with you. What's going to stay with you is your understanding of the book. Okay, and that's what I hope that will stand out throughout the whole thing. So I will keep on reminding every week, I will say, okay, what is this? What is chapter 1? What is chapter 2? Until it's inside your head, rote memory. Okay, can? All right, so let's look at it. What are we looking at? You know when I'll stop doing this? When I say, what's Ephesians 1? Then you straight away tell me. Okay, no, stop, stop, stop. Then we ask about Ephesians 2 after that. Okay, so what is Ephesians 1 about? Okay, it's really about this whole thing, okay? So far, we really see it's about our salvation, right? Obviously. But what is it? It is in Christ. And I think this is so, so, so special and outstanding. Isn't it outstanding? The more you read, the more you find, hey, in Christ is everywhere. You can't escape. There's no page you can turn that in Christ is not there. That means it must be important. Okay, so things impress upon your heart. There we have this important thing in Christ. Okay, so first, what do we have in our salvation? We start with the B word, which is our Benjamin. No, blessing. Blessing in Christ. Okay, so we start with that blessing part of it. Okay, two, you have your prayer, because you must pray to understand the blessing. If you don't pray, you don't understand the blessing. You don't even know what you have. Yeah, then that's the problem. So you have your blessing in Christ, right? And then chapter 2, we have you are what? You are made alive. M-A. Very good. Made alive. Also in Christ. Oh, very good. Okay. So you have chapter 2. And then the last week, we learned the W word. And then in Christ also. Remember? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, right? So we are His... Yeah, that's right. And we are His workmanship. Okay? Created in Christ Jesus. So here you have in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, and there is our salvation in Christ. Okay? So that's good. And we can recall, we can remember, which is good. Okay? So this is what it is. This is where we are. In Christ. That is important. That is outstanding. And I hope that is something that will be sealed in your mind. Okay, our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Good. Right. Now, where do we go from there? Okay, and the Lord's Word leads us in its own way. We don't have to find something. It's just there. Okay, so it leads us. What is the natural progression? Okay, so everything so far has been about the individual. Okay, one person. About the blessing is yours. You are made alive. Your workmanship. What's next? Is there something else? Okay, and there is something else. And this is the next idea that is coming up. Okay, naturally it flows by itself. No need to force one. Wow, it's just natural. Here you have your salvation, blessing in Christ. Okay, how come you have the blessing in the first place? You made alive, right? Okay, after you are made alive, what happens? Nothing. You just alive, then go back to being dead. No, cannot be. You're made alive, right? So I have, the Lord will work. Okay, He works in you. Good. Work towards for what? For what purpose? And there we have a purpose. We are part of the church. Okay, so here is the in Christ part. And let me introduce you to the next part. Okay, here is the body of Christ, which is what we call the church. So what is the church? I remember this was a question that one of our Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher, I think it was Pastor Mark at the time, asked us this question. What is the church? Wow, we are primary five boys. What is the church? It is the building. It is the, whoa. And then our smart aleck Sunday school classmate say, no, it is the people. Then we say, wow, you are correct. Primary five boy. Guess who is the smart aleck boy? Yeah, well, his name starts with A and ends with F, and he's a fool. Okay, well, so there's our smart aleck friend. Okay, what is it, the church? Okay, there are different imageries that the Bible uses to describe this, so that we can understand, you see. You must try to put yourself in the shoes of the people. Then, that time they had nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ came and then rose from the dead, and then after that they have literally... They have Paul, the apostle, they have the apostles, but the concept of it all is not there. They don't have YPG on Saturday. They don't have this kind of, you know what I mean? It is not. So you have to introduce the idea. First, you don't know what is the church. First. Second problem is there are all sorts of people there. Okay? You got different races. Okay? Over here, everybody Chinese, right? Am I right? Correct? Chinese? More or less lah, okay? You got some Chinese blood in you, also considered Chinese. Okay? Right, but they have all sorts of different people then, you see. And that becomes a problem. So what does Paul have to do? Literally, he has to use imagery. Okay, so the first imagery is Ephesians 1:22, but you can just have a quick look at that. Right, he put all things, he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. So this is the imagery, it is a body. So this is the imagery that will be taken up later on. Okay, in the later part of Ephesians. So we're not going to focus on that now, but that's one of the imageries. What else? What other imageries were used? Okay, and we read, okay, this idea of citizenship. We read here, okay, in verse 12, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Well, the word commonwealth has this idea of citizenship, but the other more direct one is in verse 19. Okay, no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Okay, and so Paul uses this idea of citizenship. Okay, you see, at the time there were Gentile people. There were Jews. Okay, let me spell it out for you. There were Jews. There were Gentiles. Okay, and then there were Jews, and then there was what we call different classes, social classes. Okay, in ancient Rome, you have the patricians, which is the high class people, and then you have the plebeians. You all study that, sociology people? Anyone? No? Anyway, you want to insult a person, you call a guy, hey, you pleb. That's the, I don't know who uses it, but you plebeian. Yeah, so you have a, right? And then that's the ancient Roman kind of classification. And then you have all sorts of substrata and substrata of people. And of course, the lowest is what we call a slave. Okay, so it's slave. And then Gentile, Jews, slave. How to reach out to all these kind of, all these people? How? How are we going to be able to reach out to them? Gentiles don't know what church you're talking about. Don't even know what's a synagogue, right? So how are you going to reach out to them? Well, you use this idea called a citizenship. Okay? So he says the church is like a citizenship, right? Can you understand that? Oh, we can understand that. Well, we are proud citizens of this great country that is Singapore, right? So we are very proud of our country. So all the NS boys, what are you doing? With every citizen, right? Every time you have citizens, you have certain rights and privileges, right? Correct? Also certain obligations, right? So, what is the male obligation in our country? You are a citizen, you go and do NS, right? So, you are serving your country, you have to serve your country, be a son of the soil. Okay, so that's what when you go to the army and then you go for the introduction, and they'll play for you a video and say, you are son of Singapore, son of the soil. Okay? Okay, whatever that means. Okay, so citizenship. Okay, hey, the Singapore passport is a very powerful thing, you know. So many places you go where if you had been in some other countries, you might have to apply for visa, but for us, no. Okay, so citizenship. And we understand that. Roman citizenship was a big thing in those days. Okay, so Paul, when he was on trial, he said, why'd you go and beat me without trial? That I'm a Roman citizen. He said, you're a Roman citizen. How? He said, I bought my citizenship with a price. But Paul said, no, I was born a Roman. He said, okay, you want to appeal to Caesar? You can appeal because you're a Roman citizen. So you have a certain amount of rights and privileges for all citizens. Can we appreciate that in the context of the church? You know what? In the church, what are you? When we read in verse 19, fellow citizens. Okay, and that's what we can appreciate. Being part of the church means that you are really a part of us. That means the rights and the privileges, it belongs to you, right? That's what it means. So he's trying to go around, trying to help people appreciate the church. That's what he was trying to do. So here we have Romans, we have Gentiles. Okay, what about Jews? How are we going to help the... Okay, before we go there, how are we going to help the slaves, actually? How are we going to help slaves to appreciate this? Right, how are we going to... So Onesimus was a slave, a runaway slave, and then he met Paul. Right, but he was a slave. How are you going to help a slave to do this? Okay, how? Talk about a household. Okay, so let's look at this next part of it in verse 19. Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Right, and this would be a real uplift if you were a slave. What does it mean to have a household? You mean I can be part of a household? You mean I can talk about being not just slave, but son, daughter in this household? Oh, that is going to be special. You mean I can speak about being close to each other, about having a relationship, that sense of closeness that is there? Absolutely, yes. And that's where we have this idea of a household. Okay. So can you see what he was doing here? Members of the household of God. In is literally translated, it's just... The word members is not actually there. It's just the household people of God. Okay, so this is what you have here, a household. Can you appreciate? So when he was writing, you must be able to feel and think what it was like. Use your imagination. You have to use your biblical imagination. With the clues that are given to us, use your and try to think, what was it like in those days? How can I appreciate the church? Wow, I'm not a Jew, okay? And not being a Jew means there's a part of us, okay, we won't be able to understand many things. But can you understand citizenship? Now, let me reach you at that point. Okay? Can you understand a household idea? Let me reach you at that point. Okay? And then finally, how are you going to reach the Jews? What imagery do you use? You use this idea of a holy temple. Sorry. You use this idea of a holy temple. Okay? And we read here in verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple. Okay, so you see the way in which it is done, and we can appreciate that. Okay, and that's something that we want to appreciate very, very much. Look, can you be a part of the church? The answer is yes. See, it's a logical flow. If truly you have been saved in Christ, truly, what is the next step? You've got to be part of the body of Christ. How can you say, I'm saved, but I'm not part of the body of Christ? Not any part at all. Any part of the body? No. How about the little toe? No. How about the fingernail? No, you're not part. Any part at all, you're not part of the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Say, I'm saved. The Lord has worked in my life, right? But I'm not part of the body of Christ. How come? Right? And so that's the question here. How is it that some of us, you know, struggle with this idea of being part of the church? Right, so that is a good question, and that's something that we want to look at. But first, we understand, can we be a part of? Yes. Okay, and so we read here in verse 12. So verse, the three sections here, I think your Bible separates out the three sections. Do they? Does it? From verse 11 to verse 22, is that separated into three sections? Anybody? Okay, some yes. Are there any whose Bible is one big chunk of words? Is there separation into three sections? Yes? Okay. So you see the three sections are actually linked. Okay. And we read in verse 12, what happens if you are, again here the key word, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers, no hope, without God. Okay. So we have in Christ, okay, body of Christ, and the third part. What if you are without Christ? Can you enjoy any of these things? You want to be citizen? No way. Stateless, right? You are, you know, there are people who are stateless in this world. So the Rohingya people with the in the boat and all that. Want to go to Bangladesh? Don't want. Thailand? Don't want. Nobody wants. Then how? That's what we mean. No rights, no privileges, nothing, no place in this world to call a home. Not a citizen. Okay, so at that time you were what? Strangers and foreigners. So, okay, any of these privileges, can they be yours? No, you're just simply without Christ. So you can be in a state of being without Christ, right? So we read in verse 12, aliens. Okay, obviously it doesn't mean the, you know, ET and things like that. It's aliens we're talking about. Okay, foreigners, okay? And then strangers from the covenant, no hope, no God. And that is a difficult situation to be in. Okay, so here's a without Christ situation, and then we move down, and then we read. But you, what about being in Christ? Verse 19, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So you've got to appreciate, here is a without Christ. Here is salvation in Christ. What's the natural follow-through? I should be part of the body of Christ, correct? What happens if I'm without Christ? What happens? You got nothing. You want to talk about fitting into church? You got nothing. Can an unbeliever fit into church? Obviously not. How can he if he's not in Christ? What about, okay, what if I'm really not in Christ? Can I really? No, you cannot. What if we are, you know, good friends and we personality, we match and interests also match and we like to watch movies together? Is that that you part of the church? Cannot, because you're not in Christ, because you're without Christ. You're completely out. So you're either in or out when it comes to the matter of the church. First, are you in Christ in terms of salvation? Are you? If you are, then naturally you will follow through with the church. If you are not in Christ in the first place, you will also not fit in. And you will find that, how come I don't fit in? Maybe the reason is you are not in Christ in the first place. Can you see the problem of without Christ? So you trace it. You have the in Christ, salvation in Christ, and then body of Christ, but then I'm without Christ. How to fit in? No way you're going to go anywhere like that. Okay? So you have 1, 2, 3, and then, okay, I am, what about no? But if I am in Christ, then I would be no longer a stranger and foreigner, but a fellow citizen, saint, and member of the household of God. And there we have our starting point. Okay? So first question you got to ask yourself, am I truly, truly, truly in Christ? Okay? Because if you are, then being part of the body of Christ would be a natural thing. Okay? Yes? Okay. And that's something we want to ask ourselves this afternoon. Are you in part of the body of Christ? Okay? Are you in Christ? And let's say you are. Say, I am in Christ. But how come I don't fit in? How come? How come I look at church and I look at this church that I go to and why is it I don't fit in? Is that a problem? What is the right starting point when it comes to fitting into a church? Is it the style of the church? The way they worship? What? Right? I mean, that's a good question. You come to the church and say, can I fit in? Let's say we talk about Bethany. Can I fit into Bethany? How come I can't seem to fit in? Okay. Let's explore this inquiry a bit further. What is it that allows a person to fit in? Okay. Watch this. The starting point, again, and you will not escape this, is Christ. Okay, you see, in Christ, look at this next part of it. Okay. And the fourth heading I wrote there is Christ, the chief cornerstone. Okay. And so Paul begins to elaborate on a particular imagery. And one of them is the holy temple. So I cited you three, citizenship, household, and one of them is the holy temple. Okay, watch this imagery. He begins to go along this line to explain how people can fit into the church. Okay, and watch this. It starts with this idea in verse 20. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. This is the idea. You know what's a chief cornerstone? Okay, the idea is like a foundation stone, but there are two main aspects to it. Okay, let's say you have a chief cornerstone here. Draw in 3D. Very good. Like that, huh? Okay, chief cornerstone. So what happens? Okay, there are two functions to the chief cornerstone. One, it will determine the orientation of the rest of the building. So if you have this cornerstone here, correct not, Mr. Architect? Okay, this is old masonry, so it has nothing to do with what you're doing, piling and all that, no such thing. Okay, so what do they have to do? The whole building would have to be built based on the orientation. This is the first stone that is set, okay? And that is Christ, okay? So first, it determines the orientation. Second, it is a place of honor. So for us, what is our cornerstone in that sense? Well, we don't call it, it's a foundation stone. So it's there in the fellowship hall. We have a foundation stone. You can go and have a look at it. It is meant to be a place of honor, okay? It is something that is draws attention to itself. So here is the chief cornerstone idea. And sometimes you ask yourself, how come I don't fit in? Let me ask you, what's your orientation? Christ or away? I mean, you cannot say, oh, here's a building, right? They all fit in nicely. They all fit in. But then there's one stone koyak there. How to? No, I'm the interior designer type. I like to do different direction stones everywhere. No such thing, right? If you either you fit in or you don't. Or you odd one out, correct? It begins with your orientation. Is Christ there in your life? You see, you cannot escape this idea of the Lord Jesus Christ. You really cannot. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, you talk about salvation. Am I in? Okay, let's say you're in. Then you're part of his body. Okay, you're not the without Christ type. Okay, no longer strangers, foreigners. Okay, can you fit in? Again, you talk about Christ. Can you see? Right? So we talk about it. What is your orientation? Is the Lord Jesus Christ, does he have that center place in your life? Right? And that's a good question. Does he have a center place? Because he's a center place of the church. If he's not occupying a center place in your life, I can guarantee you, will you fit in into his body? Will you fit in into the temple? Citizenship, will you be? You won't. You just won't fit in. Okay? So that's number one. It has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, what do you need in a building here? Of course, you're going to need a foundation. Okay? So modern day foundation, what do? We have to pour the concrete and then stack the piles, right? And then pour concrete. Okay, but in those days, you have a foundation too. What is your foundation? Okay, we read here in verse 20, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Can you see that? So this becomes your foundation. I'm going to put here A and P. A and P, okay, becomes your foundation. What is your foundation? What has the apostles and prophets left us? What? The Lord's Word, right? That's what we have of the apostles. Well, who are you reading now? Whose writings? An apostle, right? Go to the Old Testament, turn to Isaiah. Who are you reading? A prophet, correct? What have they left us? This must be our foundation. What's your foundation? If you say, I want to build on another foundation, different, other things. I want to build on the foundation, whatever it is. I want to build on money. I want to build on career. Build, but you will not fit in because it's a different foundation. Can you see? So these are the things that are there that explain to us why is it that sometimes I really feel I can't fit in. First, is the Lord Jesus Christ that center place in your life? Or are you different orientation? That's one. Two, what's your foundation? Okay? And we read on in the text, okay? In verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows. Do you see that? So if you really fit into the church, you know what? It's going to be a natural process. You're going to fit in. And not only that, you're going to grow as the church grows to become that holy temple. Okay? And this is a question that I want to ask all of you and I want to put to all of you. First, I hope you can see, here is the Lord Jesus Christ, always at the center of it all. First, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And then now the church, what are you? Also in Christ. he would determine the orientation of the whole church. Are you Christ-centered in the first place? If not, you will always find a disjunct between yourself and the church. Always. I guarantee you. Okay, there are many, many people who have come into our midst. You know, we do an outreach. In fact, every Sunday, we go into the midst of the people, we talk, right? And we talk to people, say, oh, you're new in our midst. You know how many people come to our midst? Every single week, they are new. Almost every week, you have new people. And they will ask, what is your church all about? Talk to them. You will find that very few people have Christ at the center. Will they fit in? No. How about give it 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Let's see, let's give it time. It's not going to happen. Foundation, is it the Lord's word? Is it on the apostles and prophets? No. You want to do other things? Are you going to fit in? No. For sure. Am I going to try it? No. No need to. It's not going to happen. Can you see? And the same for us. You know, I want to ask you, how many of you really say, I can really fit into the church? I want to raise up to you. Is it a matter of, my personality is different, my interests are different, my character is different? Or is it a matter of this? Your orientation. Christ or not? Is he your chief cornerstone? Is he at the center of it all? That's one. Two, what is your foundation? Is it apostles and prophets or something else? Right? If you have these two things not in place, can you fit in? No. Right? Can you grow together with the church? Absolutely not. Can you see? So I just want to help you to understand the whole imagery that is being used first. Okay, first you have a few different types. You have your citizenship, you have this. We appreciate that. Good. Now let's get down to actually fitting in. Do you fit in? Okay, and that's why I want to ask you. It must flow. First, it begins an individual work. Right? I am saved. Great. Can I see the blessings? Yes, it will be there. Can I be made alive? Yes. Can there be a workmanship, the idea of a work that God will do in me? Can that begin somewhere? Yes. But where are you going to? You're going to be a part of the church. Not on your own. Right? And you can be part of this church that is there. For us, in our local expression, it is Bethany. Of course, when we say the church, we don't mean, only Bethany. No, what we mean is the whole church at large. But a church requires a local expression. And that local expression, in our case, is Bethany. Right? And so what do we do, Christ-centered? What do we do? Foundation. Same thing here. You can talk about Bethel. Is it going to be different? No. It's the same. Right? Because this is what the scriptures say a church should be. So if I want to come and fit into the church and do all the activities and make a lot of friends and not be in Christ, not be Christ-centered, there is no way it's going to happen. Not at all. That's the scriptures for you. Can you see that? Conversely, on the other hand, if you are truly in Christ, you will fit in. Again, I want you to address and ask yourself these questions when you go into your discussion group. How come I don't fit into church? If you feel you don't fit in. If you see you fit in, no problem. Then I've got to ask you, why do you fit in? Is it because you make a lot of friends here, you are best friends with everybody, you like to take photos with everybody, therefore you fit in? So the guy that is going around during anniversary and in the Shangri-La lunchtime taking photos with everybody means he fits in. No, it doesn't. Some people do that, and then after 3 years, 4 years, they also leave, right? What does it mean? What does it mean? How come? Can you explore these questions for yourself? It's a natural follow-through from your salvation. Can you see that? It's natural. You don't have to force it out. The scriptures just say it. It's just like that. It just flows. If that salvation is real, then I will have a part in this church. And not only will I be fitted in nicely, boom, snug, not sticking out halfway, then gonna boom, the guy walking and then halfway trips over you because you are sticking out. No. You fit nicely, fitted together. And you know what? You're going to grow to become a dwelling place of God. And that is a big idea where the Lord will, his presence will be. 1 Peter 2 takes this up as well. Living stones idea. So similar imagery, right? But that one talks about living stones. But here we talk about being able to fit in the first place. Okay, I want you to explore and ask yourself these questions. Can I fit in? If I fit in, what is the reason? How can I truly be a part of the church? And it's not about relationships or friendships or social part of it. It is not. It is here. And if this is truly yours, if Christ is truly in you and you in Christ, you will always find a place here in Bethany, I guarantee you. And that's how it works. Do you see? Okay, and I want you to ask yourself this so that you go deeper. Oh, my friends, I see. No. Is that all? No. Right? So ask yourself the deeper and important questions. And can we really be part of that building? Read on. The whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And this is going to be the next major theme. Okay, we have been talking about a deeper appreciation of our salvation. But you know, the church is also a major, major thing that we want to look at. What do you find in the church? People. What happens? Is there a work of ministry? Yes. Are there gifts that God would give? Yes. What is your part in the body of Christ? Chapter 4. We'll come to that at some point. Okay? But it's just to introduce to you the idea of the church. Okay? Christ, cornerstone. Is He the cornerstone of your life? If He is, you know what? You will fit right in. Okay? So I want you to think about these things. Think about it. Ask yourself questions. Ask your leaders questions. And then we'll come back. And then we'll keep on learning as we go along. Okay? Come. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your word. And we want to thank you about how we can learn these little things and these concepts along the way. We thank you for how we can appreciate the Apostle Paul being able to reach out to all, whether they are Jews or Gentiles, whether they may be slaves or freemen, and that the church and salvation was meant for all. But we thank you even more that we can consider what it means to be part of the church today, that as the Lord Jesus Christ is central in all things, so He must be central in our lives too. And only then can we find ourselves fitting into the church and being a part of the church. We pray and ask that you would speak to our hearts and help us to consider these questions and, if necessary, to always ask ourselves again whether or not we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and you would teach us many important truths even as we continue to study this book. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.